Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time once again for our weekly Bible study right here on our website. Thank you for coming today. The name of our Bible study heading is Let's Talk About Jesus. I agree with the one African tribe when missionaries had come to them and they gladly received the gospel. They called the Bible the Jesus book. They said, open it just about anywhere, and you will find something about Jesus. So evidently they had taught them the scriptures, Old and New Covenant, and they had seen the prophecies concerning Christ in the Old Covenant and the fulfillment of all of those prophecies in Christ in the New Covenant. So we're going to open the Jesus book today, the Bible. Hallelujah. And let's talk about Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, listen, sometimes you wonder, what reverence do we give the Father? What honor do we give the Spirit? How do we honor the triune God without giving more honor to one than the other? And I think it's all wrapped up in what it said of Christ in the New Covenant. It said, God hath highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name that's named in heaven and earth and beneath the earth, that at the sound of his name, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God, to the glory of God. God exalted him that we might through him know the Father. When you've seen me, Jesus said, you've seen the Father. So it's, and the Holy Spirit, he personally said, I didn't come to speak of myself. I came to testify of him. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they be they that testify of me. Speaking of Christ. Dear friend of mine, today, let's talk about Jesus. Let's honor the Heavenly Father. Let's honor and bow to and welcome the Holy Ghost today. He's here, he's there, right where you are. This is the wonderful thing about God being a spirit and yet taking on flesh, so that we could grasp the fact of his personhood, his character, who he is. Even though he's invisible, he's very viable. He's real. He has substance. He has omnipotent power. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. This is the theological terms for him, which means he's ever present. He can sit upon his throne in heaven. He can sit upon the throne of the Christian's heart today. He can be where you are today if you're not a Christian, by and through his agent, the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Amen. So let's get in the Word today. He's omniscient too. Let me leave nothing out. That means he's all-knowing. Praise God. He knows everything about you and I, and yet he loves us deeply enough to give his only Son that we might be saved and we might be forgiven and that we might know him and have an intimate paternal relationship with him today. Well, I hope this has piqued your interest today. We're going to be talking about conscience, the lamp of the Lord. Conscience, the lamp of the Lord. Now there is a scripture in John chapter 1 and verse 9 that speaks of Christ as lighting every man that cometh into the world. A lot of theological perspectives and points of view, but I believe it includes the conscience being granted to every person. The measure of faith is also given to every person. So everyone has been given a conscience, and everyone has been given a measure of faith. The conscience to make us feel the need for forgiveness. The guilt, a guilty conscience should lead us to wanting to solve that problem and resolve that problem by responding to God's call to repentance so that we can be forgiven and our conscience cleansed. The faith to believe. This is not a matter of I can't believe, because to every man was given enough faith to believe. That's why he's going to hold us accountable, because it's a choice we're making. It's not that we can't believe. If you really are pushing back against believing there is a God and you're going to account to God and that who Jesus is, if you're pushing back against all that, it's not because you don't have enough faith to believe in an invisible God. No, that's not true at all. To every man is given the measure of faith. Everyone has enough faith, if you choose to believe, to believe. Amen. No, this is a choice. This is saying, I don't want to acknowledge God, because if I do, then I acknowledge immediately I'm going to account to Him for my life. There is a judgment day that's going to come, and a lot of people are trying to deny that will ever happen and trying to live free. Well, you can live free from thinking about God, but you can't live free from your conscience, who constantly tells you that you need to be right with God. Conscience, the lamp of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27 says it this way: the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, the belly is talking here, is not your stomach. It's talking about the central part. They use the physical, figuratively, of the belly. Jesus used that. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Out of your belly springing up into everlasting life. And in the ancient culture, they knew there was more to man than his stomach, but the stomach was the central part of the body, and the spirit of a man, woman, boy, or girl, is the central part of that person. I like the Amplified. It says, the spirit of a man, that factor in human personality which proceeds immediately from God, is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his inward parts. Moffat, and a translation before all the modern translations, said, man's conscience is the lamp of the Eternal, flashing into his innermost soul. And a paraphrase says, a practical paraphrase, a man's conscience is the Lord's searchlight, exposing his hidden motives. Everywhere in the Bible, lamp should be used where candle appears. A candle is made of wax and is not an object of spiritual reference. A lamp, on the other hand, is fueled by oil, a substance frequently conveying a spiritual meaning. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit in many, many instances. When the conscience is sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, God's light and truth flood the soul. Light first shines within, then after sin is confessed and error corrected and sin forgiven, the light shines without, making our life a testimony, hence fulfilling the words of Jesus, you are the light of the world. No man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel, but holds it high that everyone in the house might see. Overriding the conscience is a dangerous and disastrous act, driving us from the illuminating force of God's truth, delivering us to Satan's shadowy world of deception and spiritual darkness. Conscience is that faculty in man by which he distinguishes between morally right and wrong. Many feel that people that have never heard the gospel will be judged according to their response to the conscience. The conscience which urges him to do that which he recognizes to be right and restrains him from doing that which he recognizes to be wrong. Every man, however good, has yet a better man within him. When the outer man is unfaithful to his deeper convictions, the hidden man whispers of protest. The name of this whisper in the soul is conscience. Now, I quoted that. I didn't write that. This is a little beyond, but I agree with it 150%. Some preacher of old said to have a guilty conscience is a feeling. Psychologists may define it as a guilt complex and seek to rationalize away the sense of guilt. But once it has been awakened by the application of the law of God, by the way, the law of God, the Ten Commandments, the New Testament said, is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It actually convinces us because we can't keep it completely. We should endeavor to. It's God's unchanging purpose and guideline for us, the commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt love, thou shalt not. Listen, all of that is true, and we don't throw it out. But it is our schoolmaster. It convinces us also that we are guilty and we need to be forgiven. It brings us to the Savior, Jesus Christ, a schoolmaster to bring us to God. Once it's been awakened by the law and we see that we have broken God's law, then we can repent of our sins, our transgression, for sin is the transgression of the law. And no explanation will quiet the insistent voice of conscience. The only thing that can cleanse our conscience from this guilt is repentance and reconciliation through repentance, forgiveness. And that's why Jesus died, to be a mediator between God and man. Hallelujah. The Father that can become, God can become our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. We've been become His dear children today. David was convicted, King David, and forgiven because of a sensitizing of the conscience. Listen to 2 Samuel 24 and verse 10. It said, and David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. What a prayer that he prayed when his conscience reminded him, you have sinned. You've done a terrible wrong, but come clean before the Lord. If you want that conscience clean, then come clean. And I love Psalm 51, where David is coming clean about other issues that he missed God on and messed up on. Wash me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Then sinners will be converted unto thee, and transgressors will learn thy ways. Friend of mine, Satan seeks to stop the voice of conscience by pressing man continually to override and overrule the voice within. If we continue to override it, then override God's promptings, our heart will be deceived. Amen. Listen, that's why when I make an invitation at the end of this teaching today, at the end of our church services, I frequently say, don't run deeper into the darkness. Run to Jesus. Run to the light. Amen. He's enlightened you. He's given you a knowing within, a better person within, to remind us when we are off track, when we are on the wrong road, when we're doing the wrong thing, saying the same wrong thing, seeking the wrong thing, thinking the wrong thing. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Falling away from truth, same thing as falling away from truth. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 is a very strong warning in the Scripture. Listen to it carefully. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, distinctly and directly, you see, that in the latter times, the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared as a hot iron. Now, it says in one paraphrase, these teachers will tell lies with straight faces and do it so often that their consciences won't even bother them. This word seared here, it can be cauterized. When you cauterize a wound and you sear it and you kill the nerves and you stop the bleeding. But it also means in the Greek to brand as a slave, to sear like the brand on cattle. They would brand people, and a slave wore the brand of his master. When the conscience is seared, it means we are literally a slave to sin. I love the word doulos. My webmaster, Brother Doug Herring, he has chosen for his online title doulos, D, doulos. And doulos is a Greek word for servant. It's not the slave like the master that beat and hurt and harmed his servant, his slave, treated him as a something he owned and could do as he pleases with. This doulos here, being a servant of the Lord, is because we choose to be a servant and we are sealed or branded with the Holy Spirit. We're no longer a slave to Satan and to sin. We are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're a doulos, and we are glad to be His servant. Praise God. Amen. Listen, a lot of Satan's children parade themselves as Christians. They are not true to God, because they do not belong to Him. They cannot follow Him because they are still slaves to sin, servants of Satan instead of servants of God. Listen, in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19, I want to read before we close today. It's talking about when you are forgiven, when you come to know Jesus as your Savior. And the way you come to know Him is that you feel guilt in your conscience. Satan will use that guilt to condemn you and tell you that God could never accept you. He will remind you of every sin that He tempted you to commit and you gave into, so you're not void of responsibility. You can't say, the devil made me do it. No, the Scripture is very clear in the book of James. Let no man say he's tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and tempteth he no man, but every man is led away of his own lust and enticed. Sin, when it's lust conceived, when it's conceived, given into, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Friend of mine, we were dead, therefore, in trespasses and sins. But the Scripture said, but you hath He quickened. And that means given life. Hallelujah. And that conscience that was literally calloused and becoming more and more adamant against even acknowledging God is reawakened to God. Instead of our conscience being seared, it is now super sensitive. keenly aware of God's forgiveness, cleansed from guilt and shame, quick to respond to the Holy Spirit's promptings. If I say something wrong, I feel bad about it. How about you? If you're a Christian, you're going to feel bad about it. I remember an Indian that had come to Christ in the turn of the century through missionary efforts, and sometime later, the missionary came back to to see how people were doing. He asked the chief, who was one of the first ones to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and he asked him, he said, how are you doing now? He said, well, I'm doing very well. He says, but in me, when I do wrong, when I used to do wrong, I felt nothing. I felt nothing. I might feel a little guilt, but I didn't feel anything, that lose any sleep over anything. But he said, if I do wrong now, he said, there's like a wheel with barbs on it, and it starts turning, and I can't find any rest or any peace until that wheel stops turning. And the missionaries asked, how do you get it to stop turning? He said, when I confess my sin to Christ and I am forgiven. Hallelujah. He's talking about this sensitized conscience that God uses to convict us, to keep us on track, to keep us right with Him. But the devil appeals to the same conscience to condemn us and make us feel so guilty and so unworthy that we feel like God could never forgive us completely. God could never receive us completely. We could never have a real fellowship relationship with Him or to Him, because all of those sins are still in our conscience. And there's a difference. We're to reject, absolutely reject the condemnation, but we are to respond to God's conviction in our life. So if you're being convicted of something today, don't run from it. Run to Christ. Run to God through Christ. Pardon is available to you. Forgiveness is available to you, and it's complete forgiveness with God, as it is written, saith the Lord, not saith this preacher. This is what God says about it. Hallelujah. As it is written, saith the Lord, it's part of the new covenant. I will cast their sins away from them as far as the east is from the west, and their sins will I remember no more. That's how completely God forgives, so that we will not be plagued any further. When we respond to conviction and are forgiven and pardoned, it is so complete that the conscience is cleansed. Listen to how that cleansing takes place, so that we can draw near to God without the fear of rejection, without a sense of unworthiness. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. This is what is offered to appease a guilty conscience of both conviction and condemnation. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, Hebrews 10:20, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. This word evil conscience means guilty conscience in the context and in the Greek, and our bodies washed with pure water. So it's not just the conscience not feeling any guilt. It's the fact that we are now washed with the washing of the water by the Word. Amen. Now you are clean, Jesus said, through the Word that I have spoken unto you. Hallelujah. And verse 23 said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Hallelujah. This confession of faith, it's the word of our testimony. It's to say the same thing as another. If God says you're clean, you should sense that cleanness. If you've been washed in the blood, you've been given positional righteousness. If you've been washed in your body with pure water, sanctified, cleansed, and set apart, as the Word of God is given heed to because of a super sensitive conscience that the devil can't use to condemn us, but God uses to cleanse us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Amen. Having our bodies washed with pure water. He loved the church, gave himself for it, and cleansed it by the washing of water by the Word. Sometimes the Word convicts me of something, but I have a sensitive conscience, and it's okay. I don't feel condemned by it. I feel a calling and a desire for cleansing. And God calls me to come to Him for that cleansing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Today, dear friend, the devil wants to condemn you. He wants to condemn you to where you give up on God and give up on yourself. But God has not given up on you. He loves you today. It's not too late, even if you've been a slave to sin. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to open the eye of the blind. Hallelujah. To declare the acceptable year of the Lord. The year of Jubilee, it's referring to when slaves were set free and given gifts to go free and live free. Hallelujah. That's what God offers you in Jesus Christ today. And on top of that, the peace of mind that comes when you have truly peace with God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This drawing near to God, having fellowship with God, having your conscience cleansed, your bodies washed with pure water. Hallelujah. Dear friend of mine, don't run from God when you feel guilt. Don't give in to the devil's accusations. Listen to Revelation chapter 12. I don't have time to turn there. We're closing. But it says, now is the accuser of our brethren. He don't just accuse us to God. He accuses us through our own conscience. Amen. Listen, now is the accuser. How do we know the difference between the Holy Spirit convicting us of a sin and a wrong attitude or action and drawing us to God for forgiveness, and the devil wanting to keep us from coming to God through a sense of unworthiness? How could God forgive me? How could God love me? How could I ever have a relationship with Him after all these sins and transgressions I have committed and am committing, and to be honest with their heart, love to commit, because that change hasn't come. You come just as you are, and He works a work in our heart and in our being. Amen. How do you know the difference? One is to condemn you, keep you away from Christ, away from God. The other is to convict you and bring you to Christ so that you can come to God boldly because you are pardoned thoroughly forgiven, and your guilty conscience is now at ease. That wheel with the barbs on it isn't turning and churning. You can sleep like a baby. And I don't mean like the pastor who had one of those churches on his shoulders that was driving him nuts. He said, someone asked him, said, "Pastor, how do you sleep at night?" Because he had those bloodshot bags under his eyes. And he said, "I sleep like a baby. I sleep 2 hours, wake up and cry for a while, sleep two more hours, wake up and cry some more." Friend of mine, no, no, no. This is a peace that comes when we have peace with God, because the conscience is now free from the guilt and the shame. How did they overcome the accuser of the brethren, the devil? That's what devil means, diablos. It means a maligner, someone that is tearing at your worth. To God, your worth to yourself. You may have failed your family. Maybe you ran out on your children. Maybe you feel like they hate you. You could never have a relationship. And you may be trying to drink away, keep that wheel from turning, to use drugs to do it, to numb yourself to the hurt, the pain, and the shame. Oh, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. You don't need that drug to do it. That's just numbing it. The wheel still turns. It's dulling the pain. It's not stopping the pain. And that's why you're going back for more and more of whatever you're using to dull it. Oh, come to Jesus. And be cleansed. Hallelujah. Cleansed of the guilt, cleansed of the shame, cleansed of the accountability to God, because now He counts you righteous when you receive Jesus as your Savior. He took your old dirty sinful robe and wore it to the cross, and your sins were nailed to the cross when He was. If you come to Him to repent, you receive that kind of benefit of Calvary. And not only that, but His royal robe, unsullied and spotless, is given to you, the gift of righteousness. "This is my beloved Son, only Christ, in whom I'm well pleased. But He has become the firstborn of many brethren." Hallelujah. Praise God. His gift of righteousness has been granted to us. Do we deserve it? No. That's why grace is so absolutely amazing today. Hallelujah. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And you, if you're a Christian, and you can be saved, as wretched as you may be. Amen. Jesus died to forgive you, to restore a relationship that's broken by transgressions and now can be restored. It's called reconciliation to God. And you can have peace. For the first time in your life, you can know the peace of God that passes all understanding, because you have peace with God. And you can sleep like a baby when it sleeps all night long and wakes up in the morning. If you wake up here, God is with you. Christ is with us. If you wake up in heaven, if you pass during the night, you wake up with Him. You're with Him eternally. One way or the other, it's a win-win. You can have peace when you walk the mall, even if a shooter starts shooting. You can have peace in a cancer-ridden world, in a disease-ridden world, knowing something's going to take us one of these days, knowing there's healing until it's time available. For we have a great God and a gracious God and a good God. Hallelujah. Make Him your Father today. Get under His covering today. And no matter what happens, you will have everything you need to have peace that is perfect and passes all understanding. Nothing like it in all of the world. So don't run from Jesus today. Run to Him. If you're a slave of sin, you have habits you can't break, He'll break you out. Hallelujah. He will snap those chains in your behalf today. He will set the captive free. He was appointed for it. He achieved that freedom in our behalf at Calvary's tree. How did they overcome the accuser in Revelation 12? Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down. Well, they sure didn't do it by becoming sinlessly perfect, but perfectly saved and devoted to Christ. Listen, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Solo Cristo, only Jesus, and his shed blood overcomes the accuser of the brethren and the tempter. Listen, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Hence hold fast the confession of your faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. The word of your testimony is that you are saved because of the shed blood of Jesus. But because of the shed blood of Jesus, you are now saved. Now unto him that's able to save them to the uttermost, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for them. And his blood is part of that intercession on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. When God sees the blood, listen, and they loved not their life unto the death. They committed themselves wholly unto following Jesus, serving God, doulos, slaves that choose to serve him that completely, acknowledge him as their master. Because of his love and his sacrifice, it brought out that kind of deep devotion. Deep devotion. Come to Jesus today and be saved. Be sealed by the Holy Spirit and safe from the wrath to come, in Jesus' name.